On this week's episode of Marketing O'Clock.
Live meme time. Sam Altman is Grandpa Simpson heading into Microsoft and circling right back out.
We get all butthurt about Google's new notes feature. Google Ads is rolling out a new tool called Solutions, and we might have a problem with them if they replace scripts.
All on today's show.
Welcome, you are listening to Marketing O'Clock. Just stay tuned. Digital marketing news, but let's get specific. Digital ads, SEO and analytics, social media and more. Pretty much everything that'll make your website perform. With new shows every Friday. We give you the news with sass and puns and definitely hot takes. Thank you for tuning in. You know what time it is. It's officially Marketing O'Clock. Settle in, sit back, keep it locked.
Hey there, I'm Christine Zernheld.
AKA Shep.
I'm Jess Budd.
And I'm Greg Finn.
And it is officially Marketing O'Clock.
Here on November 24th, 2023.
Before we get into all of the digital marketing news of the week, Jess, what's happening in your life this week?
I experienced a thing that I have heard moms talk about and really thought it couldn't be that bad until it happened to me this week. It's Thanksgiving week, and we've been getting flyers and messages on the Seesaw app for weeks about this Thanksgiving feast that they're throwing at school. And they invited all the parents.
Sounds like something from Hogwarts.
That would have been better. So first of all, they asked for volunteers to come in and help. They asked for people to donate things. I sent in 6 jars of gravy. Like, it's this whole shebang. They keep reminding us, keep saying, come and celebrate with your kids. You could take your kids home after this, all that. So I'm really
That's
excited.
That's nice. You get to take your kids home.
Yeah. I mean, no, that I pay for them. Well, I don't pay. I pay school taxes and they're sending the kids
home.
And
then if you don't take them home, you're going to look like the worst.
It was really so sad. Annoying. There were like 2 kids that stayed. It was awful. Anyway, so they make this whole thing and they're like, come celebrate with us. And we're so excited. So we get there, 10:30 in the morning. We walk into this gym and there are tablecloths. It's just sheets of paper with like hand turkeys on them on the floor and place settings of Thanksgiving food on this tablecloth on the floor. No chairs. There's like rows and rows and rows of these things. And then there's chairs all along the side of the room. So I'm like, great, we'll sit over here. And then when the kids come in, we all go eat. That's what we do, right?
On the floor?
On the floor.
Okay. Why?
So we're sitting on chairs around the room and all the kids parade in. It's like 3 classrooms worth of kids. They start singing songs. It's really cute. They're dressed as like turkeys and things. It's adorable. My son, I didn't know this, was one of the announcers, like told us what the song was going to be. It was a nice little surprise.
Oh, he's following beautiful. Your footsteps.
Yeah. He likes to talk on a mic. Yeah. It was adorable. And then they're like, okay, kids, sit down and eat. Parents, you can come stand with them if you want. So there's no food for the parents. We were promised this feast. All the kids have to sit on the floor on these little X's with a plastic fork, no knives, but the turkey is like giant pieces. So all the parents are like trying to use plastic forks to cut this turkey. There's gravy, there's mashed potatoes, there's giant slices of pie, there's all this food. And the kids like just don't know what to do because it's 10:30 in the morning and they're eating this feast in front of us and we didn't get any food. And it was just like the weirdest, like you've heard horror stories of like these events that they send families into.
Can you, do you know anybody at your school? Like a superintendent or something?
I do, actually. Yes, very close with him.
You need to introduce him to Eric, our producer.
Tables.
Because I don't think they know about tables. Like, why are you eating on the floor?
I don't know.
I was thinking maybe they were eating on the floor because there weren't enough seats for the parents.
But then we, like, then that they're is, like, come
Do you not have a
like,
cafeteria?
They did, but the other kids for the rest of the school were eating in the cafeteria. But it's weird, like, not only are we not eating, but there's no, now we're standing over our children watching them sit on the floor. It was the weirdest, the songs were adorable. The kids were cute. It was the weirdest experience. And they never told us we weren't going to eat. I was planning on that being my brunch. Didn't get to eat. It was such a weird thing.
I would have eaten before with the promise of a cafeteria Thanksgiving feast.
It wasn't. It was homemade. Everybody donated the food.
Well, who cooked this for
I
them?
Have no idea. Jack told me that they all made the pie, but it was pretty good looking pie, so I don't know.
Did you see your gravy in action?
I did. And I saw the jars half empty just sitting on the stage.
You should have grabbed one and taken
take
a lick.
It home.
He didn't know where to share.
I don't know. Like, it just, it was a very weird experience. I feel like they tried at some things, but they poor communication.
All right. Well, I had a very good experience last week at SMX. It was SMX week. And I was on a panel with Thomas Essel, Julie Baccini. We were talking PPC trends. You can still go back and get all of the information if you register. Search marketingexpo.com. I did some moderation. I was moderating with Menachem, Amy Hebden. We had another panel on AI ads. And I also did a coffee talk. And I kind of just like... Most people, a lot of people don't know about Marketing Clock. So it's like I hit a bunch of like the hits on there too, where people are like, what do you think about Microsoft? And I'm like, don't get me started on the interface, blah, blah, blah. But that is also going to be available in the future here. But if you want more great programming and great content, search marketingexpo.com, all the sessions and the Q&As after. So you can see me and everybody else there are over for free. Wonderful time.
What's going on in the news this week?
Oh boy. This week there was a lot going on in the AI world. I'm sure, I know you all heard about it because we recapped it in our Monday meeting, but there was sort of a bombshell that happened on Friday where Sam Altman, one of the co-founders of OpenAI, was dismissed by the OpenAI board on Friday out of nowhere. And the kind of rationale was from the board that there was a deliberative review process which concluded that he was not consistently candid in his communications with them, hindering its ability to exercise its responsibilities. And the board no longer has confidence in his ability to continue leading OpenAI. And then soon after, Greg Brockman, who was also a co-founder and president of OpenAI, resigned, and so did three other senior researchers. So this is pretty shocking at the time. This is obviously the company that is in the forefront of AI with ChatGPT, and kind of came out of nowhere. And I, whenever something like that happens, like so drastically, you always kind of like think the worst, right? Mm-hmm. Is that what you all think?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh,
some
yeah.
Some sort of scandal.
Some sort of scandal, something super inappropriate, something going on, you know, whatever, like hopefully not anything bad. But it just didn't seem like it at this time. It just seemed like it could, because Sam kept just tweeting basically, or Xing, or whatever you want to call it. And he said, I love my time at OpenAI. It was transformative for me personally and hopefully the world a little bit. Most of all, I love working with such talented people. We'll have more to say about what's next later. He then kind of like vague tweeted something that he might spill some beans or something like that afterwards. But another tweet that he put out same day was just simply, I love the OpenAI team so much. And then so all of these OpenAI employees just started quote tweeting it with like heart emojis and like the heart hand emojis and everything like that. Every one of the, not every one of the employees, I would say a majority of employees that are out there on X just started tweeting, OpenAI is nothing without its people. And then Sam Altman would quote tweet that, quote X that with just a heart emoji. And just if you look at his timeline, it's just all hearts of people saying the same exact message. It's like, whoa, something is going on there. So then it came out that Sam Altman was in fact not going to be like coming back, because there were some rumors he might be coming back to OpenAI with everything going on, but instead was taking a job at Microsoft. And so Satya from Microsoft, the CEO, said, we remain committed to our partnership with OpenAI and have confidence in our product roadmap, our ability to continue to innovate with everything we announced at Microsoft Ignite, and continuing to support our customers' partners, blah, blah, blah. And says, we're extremely excited to share the news that Sam Altman and Greg Brockman, together with colleagues, will be joining Microsoft to lead a new advanced AI research team. We look forward to moving quickly to provide them with the resources needed for their success. And then it gets even wilder, because there was on Monday morning a note that was signed by, it started with like 550 of the 700 OpenAI employees, and I think it made it up to like 650 people signed it, calling for the entire resignation of the OpenAI board. And so like everybody at OpenAI is just now calling for the resignation of the OpenAI board, which...
Who do you even send that to? The board?
I mean, I guess the press. The board and the press, everything like that. But so it just seems like there was like a big overreach, right? Like it wasn't like people hated him or something like that, or there was something going on. It just seemed like maybe he just wasn't the best to work with. There might be some personal issues with some board members and they just wanted like more control or something like that. And then as of Wednesday, Sam is now leaving Microsoft and going back to OpenAI. So,
and is the board still all the same?
The board is getting reshuffled. There's a whole bunch of different people. Kara Swisher had really great reporting. There was a podcast with, again, the Microsoft CEO as well on there. But OpenAI tweeted out to say, "We have reached an agreement in principle for Sam Altman to return to OpenAI as CEO. With a new initial board of Brett Taylor, Larry Summers, and Adam D'Angelo, we're collaborating to figure out details. Thank you so much for our patience through this." So I guess from a, like a marketing perspective, it did seem like there was going to be potentially a big shift towards like, hey, is there going to be a new tool out there that could be like Microsoft led, or is Microsoft really going to take the lead in that side of things? But it does seem like, and Microsoft has a big, you know, a partnership with OpenAI. So there's still that, you know, synergy, for lack of a better word. But now OpenAI is still going to exist. Because I know everybody out there is like using ChatGPT and that's one of the best tools right now, but it doesn't seem like that's going anywhere at the moment until, you know, unless this new board does something stupid. So I don't know. It was just pretty cool to like see all this stuff like happening live and be like,
and
what?
Really quickly.
Really quickly.
Really quickly. I feel like this could take weeks, months to end up this way, but yeah. Days.
And then on that open note to the board, where 650-ish people signed this, they also said, we all have jobs at Microsoft if needed. So like apparently Microsoft got Sam, got Greg, and then also offered the entire team jobs.
That's the together with colleagues part. Like, yeah, all the colleagues, they're coming. That's
I mean,
crazy.
Yeah, that's like, it seems like the board, for whatever reason they had, tried to strong arm him out. And then it's like, nope. Seems like this guy's a great leader. People respect him, yeah. Like him, hopefully a good guy. And everybody's now strong arming the board back with two arms this time.
Amazing flex.
So yeah, I guess from a marketing perspective, you can still be confident in ChatGPT. But and then I know Elon is, he's got more flaws than positives, we'll say. But also, I mean, he invented electric cars. Basically. I know he didn't technically invent electric cars, but he made electric cars happen. And so from that tweet from the Microsoft CEO about getting Sam over, Elon posted a tweet that said, "Now they will have to use Teams."
He just wanted to be part of the conversation. He just wanted to play.
That's like something I would teams. Say. Like, yeah. And I saw somebody else being like, when Sam took the job off her back, big, like, nope, he opened up Teams and now he's back to OpenAI. So, anyway, that's the OpenAI news. Shep, you got anything else?
Yes. Dario Zanoni made a potentially big discovery for Google Ads this week. So he posted on LinkedIn, "Google Ads Solutions. I found this new page in Google Ads Help about a function called Solutions. Solutions are described as a tool to, quote, help you create automated and customized workflows without making changes to the code. And some examples that they list in that article of things that you could do with these solutions are confirm that all your links are working, automatically adjust your campaign budget, generate reports, send notifications when your account's performance changes." So kind of things that you used to be able to do with scripts or rules, but now it seems like you're going to be able to do these scripty things without code, which will be helpful for marketers like me who don't know how to code. Mm-hmm. And then Robert Grabman replied and said, "Based on the examples mentioned, it may simply just be referencing Google Ads script solutions with template scripts such as a link checker, account anomaly detector, etc." This is just another example. I don't know if they're going to like change the name before it rolls out, but this would be a terrible name. Like, solution is a very general term, and we're just going to call a script template a solution.
Yeah, it's,
that
it's
might
a template.
Be worse than assets. Mm. That rebrand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then if it is solutions, I wonder like if there's going to be limitations. That's always, I just, tinfoil hat goes on. And like with scripts, you could do anything you want. But if you have solutions, A, like how are those going to play together? Is one take precedence over that? Like how do those work? And then, you know, are you going to have the ability to like let's have a solution to raise our budget.
Maybe not lower. Not
have a solution. I don't yeah. know. Just like, how are they squeezing?
That's a good point.
Every nickel out of our pockets.
That's like a big thing that we use scripts for here. Is budget like management. Ad overspend yeah. protection. Yeah. I don't know if they would let you do that with solutions, but there's nothing in this necessarily about scripts going away. Like, hopefully we would still have both. So if you needed to do anything really advanced, you could still get a developer to make you a script. And if it was something that could use one of these templates, you could use that. It's just any Joe Schmo marketer like me and the Joe Schmo.
And the Joe Schmo. You know?
So that could be coming. Keep your eyes peeled.
Now it's time for this week's Take of the Week. This is a hashtag fire digital marketing take with extra spice served up for you. We simply deliver the take for your consumption. We give no opinions. We don't influence. You make the call.
This week's take of the week, it really comes from Google Analytics potentially, but it's Simo Ahava at Simo Ahava on X. And this is a take here because we can't technically report on this as news because they pulled this article down. Google Analytics did. So this article was live. There's screenshots. There's links to the article, but the article no longer exists. And Simo Ahava says, here's a combination of ouch and WTF to get you started on this lovely Thursday. Google Analytics 4 is renaming conversions to key events, reserving the former just for ads conversions. And if you read the instructions that were screen grabbed, it says they're talking about key events. They say key events are events in Google Analytics that you mark as important to your business, such as a product purchase or a newsletter subscription. These were previously called conversions in Analytics and can now be found and created in admin key events. So again, this does look like there was supposed to be a rollout. Maybe it came out too soon. Maybe they wanted to try to soften the blow or something like that. None of this is the take on it. The take is what I'm going to read next. Okay. And I was talking with Jack, our head of data here. I was like, what do you think about this? And he's like, well, it kind of makes sense because everything is an event now. And if you have key events, then you can be like, these are – there's no difference, right? It's something that's important to you, events. So that kind of makes sense, right?
But what's wrong with saying conversion? I'm ready for the take.
Okay. Your head is going to explode.
Okay.
So remember, they said key events are Google Analytics or events in Google Analytics that you report important that you mark important to your business, such as product purchase or newsletter subscriptions. Key event counts are included in reports in both the reports and advertising section. They're measured and reported differently from Google Ads conversions. Conversions from your linked Google Ads account will show in advertising reports as conversions.
So
you no longer have conversions in Google Analytics, but you still do, but your conversions are only from your Google Ads
traffic.
And they also report key events alongside.
Yeah, so you have key events that are your key events, and then you have conversions, which are your key events from Google Ads only. And it doesn't seem like you will be able to have a conversion from Microsoft advertising. You only have to have a key event from Microsoft advertising. Mm-mm-mm.
They are trying to make it look like Google Ads is the only thing that works. People are going to see that. A drop off in conversions from every single source except Google Ads. If you didn't catch this.
Yeah, because if you read it close, it says conversions from your linked Google Ads accounts will show in advertising reports as conversions. So I'm assuming like we're trying to pull an advertising report in GA4. I don't use J4 that much. I just use Looker Studio to get everything.
Why would I? Are you reading this?
So now you'll have key events. Well, again, this was pulled. So this is just a take right now. When it's formal,
my heart hurts.
You'll have key events from your website, and then you'll have conversions in Google Analytics 4 from your Google Ads.
Yeah, only from Google Ads. And you're also going to see the key events next to it in the same report. So it's going to inflate things, too, if you don't pay attention. You're going to be like, look at all these things. None of it makes any sense.
So if you set up a Google Ads conversion as a key event, you will have to subtract your conversions from your key events.
Yeah.
Will you be able to set up conversions in GA4? Because that's all I use GA4 for. And then
no, you'll have no conversions. Oh, I don't think you will. According to this, I would assume that you will no longer be able to set up a conversion in J4. What you'll have to do is you have to set up an event. You'll have to mark it as a key event. You'll have to pull it into your Google Ads account as a conversion, and then it will come back into your GA4 as a conversion, even though it is also a key event. That's my take on this.
Why do they hate advertisers?
Billion, scrillion dollar question.
Scrillion.
That is so despicable.
It's very upsetting. There's a lot of layers.
And there's an easy way here, too. Just call them all key events.
Or just call them all conversions, because they've been called conversions forever. I'm so sick of the renaming of everything.
Well, you see, good news. You still got conversions, Shep.
Okay.
And you also got key events.
I hate this. That just ruined my day.
Now it's time for this week's ICYMI.
ICYMI, people.
This is something you just might not have seen. Maybe something that you overlooked, but you shouldn't have.
ICYMI, people. Dennis Moons posted on X from his @DennisMoons account. Important service announcement. Go check your promotion tab in Google Merchant Center accounts. Google automatically adds promotions that extracts from your site, which overrides manually set up promos. So this is a real example. Manual promo, 25% site-wide Black Friday promo with no minimum order. Automatic promo, get 25% when you spend $50. That is such a crossed line. Like, people are going to be mad. Mm-hmm. And this is an example where, like, the promo is worse online, so maybe they wouldn't be too, or it's like what they're seeing in Google is going to be worse. But like, what if it's the other way around and you like think you're getting a great sale and then you're not?
And then I hope that they don't ever like jack the promo up. You know what I
mean? That's what,
yeah. Like $25, be like $30. Is somebody be on the hook if that happens?
Definitely not. Good luck trying to get in touch with anyone.
If you spend $50. Where did you get that from?
AI.
It was like, extracted from the site. Right.
That could be something that would harm your business, obviously.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Absolutely hate it. Check your merchant center. Prayers for e-commerce people. Hope you had a great Black Friday. We're on the other side now in the future.
It's also funny. They didn't try to get Sam Altman at all. You're like, oh, that guy. Oh, we got great AI. Look at this. Look at this promotion. Look at Google just modified it, you know? Just really cleaned this thing up.
Now it's time for this week's
pew, pew,
lightning round. At this point in the show, we split up our content into three parts. Paid, organic, and social.
First up in the paid universe this week from Thomas Assell at Thomas Assell on X. Big PMax update. You can now segment your products also by brand and custom label. Really handy feature. Some weeks ago, I posted about the product types edition. Now we have two more segments in here. This supports my theory that Thomas might be paid by Google, because
he is not paid by Google. I don't know if you saw that SMX session.
Oh, but he X'd me, not tweeted me, and said that he's not paid by Google. But this really supports the theory. I feel like everyone else is always finding bad things. I don't know what it is about him. Is he just like very optimistic, looking on the bright side and finding all the good features? I love it.
And for any new listeners, we have an award show at the end of the year, the Clockskers, and we have the most pro Google marketer of the year. Thomas might be in the running this year. Who got it last year?
You.
I got it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Did we really give it to you?
Yeah.
You gave it to yourself.
It was a sarcastic thing. Ironic? No,
I think I won it fair and square.
Okay.
You might have been the only one
running. Some people disagree. Next up from Adrian Decker at Adrian_PPC on X. He posted that Victor Selle-Guillemot. You guys, I'm the most embarrassing American uncultured swine. I'm so sorry. I can't pronounce anyone's name. Found out that Google is testing with a bigger logo size in Google Ads. So there's a side-by-side comparison here, and the little emoticon, or, you know, your Google Ads logo asset in the SERPs is showing up bigger. So,
wow, that's crazy. Who found that?
My friend Victor, who hates me. I'm sorry, Victor. You know, and everyone's laughing at me because then I ended up with the last name Zernheld. Okay. Next up, from Anthony Higman.
Higman!
Oh, what fresh hell will Google bring today? Happy holidays from Higman, everybody.
That is amazing. Here we go.
That was a quote.
I'm nominating him for most pro Google
Yes!
Merchant of the Year.
Yes. He is one of my favorite things about 2023. I just love his optimism. Okay. Account suspended for unpaid balance. You guys. Balance equals $0.
So his Google Ads
account. You can't pay it because there isn't one. Pay it, Anthony. You're being so cheap.
Look, check out his tweet and look at my response to him.
So great. What do you even do? There's no support. Greg Finn replied and said, just pay it already, you scoundrel.
Oh,
yep.
No.
Balance zero. Yep, can't run ads. Everything's
Anthony,
fine.
Wow. Okay, he's got another one here. Even more censored here. He says, ugh, hate these ones. $224.36 for Google to match a freaking competitor's phone number to the keyword workers' compensation lawyer.
Man.
That's somebody like Fat Frank trying to type something or cap and just accidentally does a search and then boom.
This is getting ridiculous. Google, I can tell you right now that a effing phone number is not a close variant for and does not have a similar meaning to the keyword workers' compensation lawyers, SMFH. He uses some really important caps in there. He also uses title case for all of his tweets. Fun fact.
Oh, I never noticed that.
This kind of keyword matching should be illegal. I've got good news for you, Anthony. It seems like you know some lawyers because you got a lot of legal search yes. terms. And I think you should talk to them about this.
That's what we need to do. We need to go double arm back.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Strong arm
Write
double
a letter.
Right back.
600 of us. We're leaving.
I just feel like more than anyone, maybe, Anthony Higman, maybe Greg Higman. Finn too. You guys really need this Thanksgiving break, man.
I'm like,
he's lucky.
I'm running on empty.
Seems like he's not an e-com. Take these 2 days. You need the break, Anthony. You earned it. Google Ads is updating location asset requirements. This all seems pretty straightforward. Don't add a location asset for a location that's closed.
Sure, okay? Yeah.
Why? You're going to get in trouble. And if you want more info on that, you can subscribe to our newsletter, newsletter.marketingclock.com.
I think our Thanksgiving shows are my favorite. Like, I love it when we're just like
There's no news. Cooks.
There's no news. It's early in the morning. Everybody's tired.
Google Ads no longer supports Store Sales Direct. In other news, Google Ads had a product called Store Sales Direct. Stole that joke from Greg Finn a couple weeks ago. If you relied on SSD, Google said to review the Store Sales Onboarding Guide to understand your eligibility for ongoing store sales measurement. Work with your Google Ads account team to update the feature. Good luck getting in touch with them.
Yeah.
From David Kyle at David Kyle on X, he has some screenshots from a focus group that he was a part of with the PMax product team. That sounds really fun. Wow. Everybody buckle up. PPC this week.
Those PMax product team people, man, I wish I loved something as much as they love PMax. Google PMax products team is to PMax as Shep is to Taylor Swift.
You think that's true?
Wow, yes. That's very, very strong.
Those are strong feelings.
Yeah.
Okay. These are real life screen grabs, everyone. Quote, would you be open to consolidating both your keyword and PMax campaigns into one PMax campaign in the future? How do you feel about migrating regular keyword search campaigns to PMax campaigns? And finally,
did you read the options?
Oh, the options are absolutely not.
No,
it's absolute not. That's what I would pick. Not really interested, neutral, somewhat interested, or yes, let's do it.
Absolute not. Thank you.
And finally, which search campaign features are you comfortable doing without? What specific new or existing campaign features would you like to see in PMax? Please, advertisers, if you are part of a focus group like this, say that you want all of the features you have. If you're not using them, maybe somebody else is.
Do you see what David responded to the what search features would you like to see?
He answered ability to opt out of the 2X rule for budgets. Mm-hmm. Completely agree. And bid caps.
Yep.
Absolutely. Would love to see it. But to me, I doubt we're going to get it.
Yeah. And to me, I think all these things, these surveys are, it's just them like puffing their chests out and trying to like make it seem like things are great. Because even if you said, like, how would you feel about migrating regular keyword search campaigns to PMax campaigns? We know right now PMax campaigns work. We know when something works, it gets watered down. With keywords, there was something that was rolled out supposed to be better to help advertisers by casting a wider net. But we saw on the DOJ stuff that it is brought in specifically to talking about revenue goals and how they can have cleverer keyword matching to increase revenue. So even if you're saying this right now, that doesn't mean that anybody would do that in 3 months, 6 months, a year. It's everything. They get you in something and then they make it worse. They make it worse, 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 and then get you in something different that works a little bit better, and then they make it worse, 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 worse. So even if you were to say this now, it's like, no, I would never, you never, like, because I know what's going to happen. If I get out of this and now I can't see anything where I'm going, cool, it might work for a while. Then what's going to happen? We're going to less and less and less search because we're going to have search go up and up. It's so disheartening.
It just makes me worry that search is going away sometime sooner than we wanted to. Conspiracy theory hat. I hate these questions.
We should give thanks for what we have right now.
Yes. And I use PMax. I don't turn search campaigns into PMax. I like add it on top. Because if you have an account that can't afford to do both, they probably can't afford to do PMax. Because it doesn't work unless you're spending a lot from what I've done with it. Just my two cents. Okay. Next from Mike Ryan at Mike Ryan Retail on X. He said, Temu continues to YOLO Western markets with absurd sums of ad spend. They are now nearly as prevalent in Google Shopping auctions as Amazon. And he says, that should stun you. It did stun me because I feel like I don't see a lot of Temu ads on Google.
What?
Yeah. I get them in all my apps and games, but I don't get to see them on search.
I also buy a lot of stuff from
Temu. You do? Fashion. I was going to ask.
Yes. I have an order being shipped to me right now.
Is it fast shipping?
No. No, it's definitely not. It's like the opposite of that.
Do you have the app?
I have the app, yes. You can buy things like really cheap. Like people always forget shin guards. I can buy shin guards for $1 and I can just throw them into my bag and then somebody's not going to be like disqualified from a game. You get like soccer socks, just anything that doesn't matter type thing. Like that's what you buy.
Seems like safety equipment matters.
I know, but I just want my players to play. And if they have shin guards, at least there's something there. And sometimes people pretend they don't have them, and I look, and I'm like, no, you need a shin guard. There, you at least got something. And I don't want to share shin guards because that's disgusting.
Yeah. Oh, my God, that shin guard itch. Memories from my youth. Yeah. Is it free shipping?
Usually at like $50 or more.
They don't need the Google auction. They're getting free ad right here. Next up from Aquila DeFazio at Aquila DeFazio on X. Interesting. There's a new flexible meta ads format option in the ad level. Have you tried it yet? So now in addition to selecting single image or video or carousel or collection ad, you can pick flexible and they will show your ad in the format that they predict may perform the best. So it kind of sounds like an RDA situation on Meta.
Yeah.
And if you want more Aquila, we have amazing interviews with some people that we saw at Brighton. We didn't plug this yet.
No. Yeah. Head on over to our YouTube channel. At Marketing Clock on YouTube or youtube.com/marketingandclock. We are going to be rolling out a series of different interviews we had where we talk about some things that are working hard or hardly working in people's accounts. And we have about 20 different interviews that we'll have. They're all pretty quick, about a minute or two each, but hopefully you get some good insights. I know for a fact there are a few like banger insights on there. So go follow. And if you have not subscribed yet, please subscribe to us on YouTube. It means the world to us. We're so thankful for you.
David Kyle at David Kyle posted on X this week, anyone in PPC chat noticed DDA revenue projection becoming unreliable? It's always been a conservative estimate that's valid for optimizing and informal reporting. And then he has a screenshot that he's comparing old data to. So he says on Monday, this was saying 8.35 conversions for the same time period of 12 days. And then in his screenshot, it says, for this date range, the bid strategy is projected to receive 257.62 more conversions. Interesting.
That's a big jump right there. Not a math guy, but that's like 250 more conversions.
Yep. Then he said October revenue dropped 5% when it finally settled out. So I guess if anyone else is noticing that data-driven attribution estimates are off, you're not alone. Maybe don't trust them. More DDA news from Thomas Issel at Thomas Issel on X. Demand gen campaigns are now supported in the attribution reports and DDA model. Recently, I've seen a lot of inconsistencies in conversion attribution for demand gen campaigns. So day one, he says two purchases attributed to demand gen, and day three, no purchases, no more purchases. Things are just all over the place.
I just like how it goes to zero. How does it go to absolutely zero? How do you say it's three and then it goes to zero? And he's not the only one, right?
No, this one is worse. In case this isn't clear, this is from PPC Kirk at Kirk Williams on X.
Yes.
In case this isn't clear, we all know DDA may add conversions over time, but here are DDA removed 75 conversions in the span of a month for a single day. That means if you looked at the campaign and gave it budget immediately because it overreported, then you would have been very, very wrong. So at what point is DDA like done and you can trust the numbers?
In DDA, in case you don't know, is data-driven attribution where Google will go and try to figure out for your specific account what caused the conversion or key event to happen.
I'm rolling my eyes.
There was something so beautiful about just having like linear conversions where everything got the same touch point. You can just see exactly where it is. And if you want to flip over to DDA, that's fine. But the problem is when you go from something that is 8 conversions to 257 conversions, or 3.5 to zero, or whatever Kirk's. Kirk's was wild how much that was. Kirk was
75 in a day.
75 in a day. Like, that is not helpful. And then to say you had a conversion from demand gen and then went to zero, that's not helpful either. There can't be a zero.
Yeah.
So I guess that's just like demand gen did nothing.
But we don't know. Is it like 48 hours out, are the numbers like done and they're not going to change them anymore? Or like, that would be nice to know.
I agree.
Like, and when you can trust the data.
Tinfoil hat on is you don't have any insight into that.
Yeah.
You don't know how that's made. If you're looking at DDA and Google Analytics, maybe you've got something called a conversion that's only for Google Ads. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have this data. And then the announcement of, we didn't see a lot of people using linear. It's like, well, just leave it in there.
Yeah,
that is the easiest equation ever. You take the visits and you just divide it by where they came from. It's so easy to do. But then you'd be able to figure out, oh, something's being over. I'm like a real conspiracist today.
Today?
But I'm right, though. Yeah, I'm right on this. Yeah. So whatever.
Next up, Tales from PPC Reddit. From user Significant Tough 7742. Today on 11/21, I went into my Google Ads account and the daily budget was set to $146. However, my campaign spent $16,000. I immediately panicked and reached out to a Google rep who said that the people who could help me were not available and that he would get back to me in 1 to 2 days. However, when I asked when this team would be available, because I am happy to wait for them, he said they were permanently unavailable. He refused to give me any insights on how or why this happened. There is no way that my campaign can spend that because my $146 is my budget. Is there something I did on my end to make it spend that much?
No.
Any help is appreciated. That is so sad.
Permanently unavailable?
In all likelihood, he's going to rebuild the 2x amount, right? But you just have to go and you have to look at your build.
Yes.
Costs. But people that are novices don't know this, right?
This poor Significant Tough, anything I did on my end, it's like, well, first of all, your campaign could spend 2x your daily budget and you could be billed for it. But you're only going to be billed for 2x your daily budget here. Like, it's not going to spend... It's not going to bill you $16,000.
But like, your support person should be the one talking about it. Not us on a freaking podcast.
Not PPC Reddit.
It's such an easy thing to have support, but that's not what they do anymore. I'm surprised they didn't pay $50 to talk to somebody.
When I first read this, I thought it was like us or Higman not specifically, but like one of those people, like just complaining. But no, it was like someone who really didn't know about this the two times rule and like how budgets work. Like, it's so sad.
I know. And if like a manager goes in there, like that person could be fired.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
hate it. Do you have better news for us in organic?
Yes, I sure do. Last week, we heard about notes rolling out to the search engine results pages. And Lily Ray at Lily Ray NYC has a bunch of examples in the wild. And they are going great.
Notes.
It
so
seemed
happy.
Like she was looking about some, looking for something that had a garden included in it. And there was one note that said, I should buy a house with a big garden. Another note on the same thing said, recipes. The other note said, my ASS hurts.
How nice of you to censor yourself for that word.
Next one says, looks amazing. Gonna try it. Another one says, I love garden season. Heart face, heart face, heart face. And then there's one other one that may have been put in by one Jess Bud. But it says, gardening is better than murder.
She doesn't garden.
No. My ass hurts, though.
Are you kidding me? This is turning Google search results into like
I knew this
a
would
Facebook
happen.
Post from my husband's grandma in the
Who
comment
thought
section.
This was going to go well. This is exactly how it was going to go, and everybody knew
so
that.
Dumb.
So, yeah, notes.
How are any of these, like even the ones that aren't annoying, are like not helpful? What is the point?
No, like I don't care that Taylor is going to try it. And then if you think about it too, like you have to do the search, you have to go to the website.
Yeah.
You have to try it. Like they're almost making you want to put a note in before you actually visit the website because you're making a note on the SERPs.
It's like we said last week that it could be good for recipes, but like if you're a good recipe blog, you have a comment section so people could add stuff like this on the page.
Right, but even if you wanted to add input about a recipe, you have to do a search on Google. You have to find a certain recipe that you liked in the SERPs. You have to go click through. You have to try the recipe. You have to see how it did. And then maybe like a day later when you're done.
You have to go back. Right?
Or half day later.
Great point.
Then you have to go back and you have to search the same exact Nobody's query that you did the first time. Then you have to find the same link that you clicked the first time. Not click that link, but instead try to find the note so that you can put a note in for other people.
This is one of the silliest things.
The nice thing is like you really warmed my heart in that last story of yours about how good the support is.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm sure all this moderation is going to be fine.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure they've got a team of people really, like, looking out for the notes that you can put on literally every freaking website, web page in the on the internet.
Yeah. And we can all agree that gardening is better than murder, so that'll get left there anyway. It's accurate.
All right. From the incredibly fast talker, Barry Schwartz, over at Search Engine Roundtable. We had talked about this last week where I said maybe these notes will be indexable in the SERPs and then more quickly changed my tune there because they said that they weren't. It does seem like they are indexable in the search engine results page. And if you do a site operator search for content.ucp.usercontent.goog, you can see all of the different notes that are actually in there. So they are indexable. They're probably never going to rank, though. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure they're not going to rank, but they're definitely indexable. All right. We also learned about following last week, where there is now a follow button on certain topics in the search results pages. And Glenn Gabe at Glenn Gabe on X is seeing it live. And Glenn says, Google said the features for following topics would roll out in the coming weeks, and I'm now consistently seeing that in Discover. Just hit my feed late yesterday. I'm now seeing articles organized by topic for which a prominent follow or following pill is there. And Glenn had one of his examples was AI and the other was Atari. I'm like, you know, that I would have, I think that's what I would have guessed for Glenn.
I didn't know he was an Atari guy.
I could see that. I could see him being like the Yankees.
Yeah, sports.
Like sci-fi novels.
Some fitness stuff.
Fitness stuff, yep, for sure. Like fit over 40.
Banana French
toast. I don't
know
how old he is. Yeah.
Okay. Told us he likes banana French toast. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I just want to know if you had any other thoughts, but I think you hit them all.
Atari surprised me, I will say.
Okay. he's got such a cool background whenever you see his interviews. I feel like he's got some like, you know, like a retro gaming stuff. Mm-hmm. All right. And there was some major shakeups in Google Discover and Lily Ray at Lily Ray NYC. It's like the big Lily Ray and Glenn Gabe show because they're like the hardest working ones out there. So like you just get a lot of that this week.
They should spend Thanksgiving together.
Yeah.
Meeting of the minds.
People would pay to join that feast. Mm-hmm. You can even have it on the floor if people pay for it.
I'll bring the gravy.
So Lily put out a form where if you had traffic drops, people could go and submit this. And then she made a fantastic post about this, looking at the overall trends of who was actually impacted. 73% of the respondents said that they've seen their traffic drop to zero during the past 3 months. And there's a whole bunch more. So if you were impacted in seeing less Discover traffic, you definitely want to check this out over at AmCiv Digital. Okay, we're still here talking about notes, and Lily Ray has found a lot of the notes showing up on Google Discover. For all of the articles, except the horrible web stories. And if you look at her post, you can see like some of the helpful like how-tos have notes on there, and then something like the top 8 healthy snacks to boost energy and lose weight. You can't leave a note on them, and there were a whole bunch more spammy ones. And what? Is that, how do you know what's, you can put a note on it or not now? It just look, if you look at the GIF that she's got there, you can just tell like anything that you would want to leave a note on to be like, no, this is BS. You mm-hmm. just can't do. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what the heck is happening over there.
They're going to, they'll be on the in memoriam in 2024.
Can you leave a note on like, I'm going to search for like Google Ads and leave a note on them.
Okay. Criminals.
What in fresh hell? Okay. All right. From Glenn Gabe, there's a post on X and he says, there is limited space on mobile and ads and other features push the 10 blue links down the SERP. The new for you carousel that we talked about last week will do that even more. Good for sites that have been visited often by the user, but bad for sites that have been ranking highly. Once again, it's a 1-3 ranking, might not be, really be 1-3. Eager to see how this works out as it rolls out. And for a bunch of those different queries, you're now not seeing the traditional results there, but you're seeing sort of those perspectives, influencer-type posts from TikTok, YouTube, things like that. All right, from Lawrence Chassie at L Chassie on X, he says, here you go, at Greg Finn. Now you can do charts with Greg and Bard. I am sure you'll come up with something grand. And he's got a screenshot of the fact that you can now use charts and graphs to visualize data on Bard. And he said, we've even made a graph resembling the Bard Sparkle while playing around with this new feature.
Congratulations.
I don't have any data. I tried to make a chart. I'm like, I didn't have any data, and it's a short week, and I don't have any charts, but next time we have a chart, I'm going to say Bard can shine it up. I had to have the data, though. All right, from Anthony Higman. Higman! He tweets, so Google has changed the YouTube's ad skip button. It is now way less obvious, half the size, and transparent with rounded edges compared to the old skip button that was black, squared, and with a white highlighted border.
This is going to be so hard for my son to skip ads.
He'll pick it up fast. Don't worry.
And there's a picture of a dapper-looking Higman all suited and booted with the old button. And then there's a picture of the new button that is much smaller. But I guess for advertisers, maybe you'll get more view length on your ads.
From people who don't want to be watching.
Yeah, from people that don't care. Yeah, it's not helpful if they don't care.
Okay, we talked about this last week as well. It was a big news week in actual like Google SERPs and rankings. And Glenn Gabe at Glenn Gabe on X said the Hidden Gems piece actually rolled out already, all caps. Taking a note from Higman there. And he says, a few months ago and as part of Google's core ranking system and not the HC or helpful content update. Wow, this is probably why Kiora and Reddit surged like mad a few months ago. And links to a post from Barry Schwartz. This all makes sense to me now because when we were talking about it before, I think Lily Ray was talking about it too, where there was a helpful content update that is supposed to sort of like negatively impact sites that weren't being helpful. But at the same time, like Reddit jumped through the roof and we'd see Reddit ranking for like everything. And it's not like every single site above it dropped down, But in actuality, it was likely this Hidden Gems piece, if you saw Reddit come out there, that really gave it a boost because it had real like user experience and good gems of knowledge. All right, Google's also adding a filter to its shopping search results to show just products offered by small business. Businesses can mark themselves as being a small business in the Google Business Profile or Merchant Center. So you can do that.
Google's, how are they going to check it?
I don't know. And then what is there like a line of small business also? Like where's that line either? Google wrote 84% of people say supporting local and or small businesses is important to them, so they're making it easy.
I would say one thing's for sure. If Google doesn't care about you, you're probably a small business.
Yeah, that's great.
It's a good chance.
Do you have a dedicated rep?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a small business. All right, at Glenn Gabe has more SEO news for today. He writes, Bing has added AI-generated captions for some listings via GPT-4, and he's tested it a bunch, and Barry Schwartz has a full article over on Search Engine Land about the AI generation captions to the search result snippets, and if you hover over it, you can see that it is AI-generated. Again, some of these things would be nice to have ability to be opted out of, especially knowing that we've seen AI be wrong many times, and also like seeing all this like turmoil and like tumultuous times in AI. like let's just also be like, we can just skip the AI. Okay, the quality rater guidelines have been updated according to Glenn Gabe, and there's more. It's in our Must Read Marketing article of the week. I'm going to break down a little bit more there. So not lastly, but we're getting close here. Glenn is eager to see how Amazon Prime Video ads, they're going to have shoppable ads. He wants to see how those roll out. So viewers are going to be able to scan QR codes for instant purchases during NFL's first ever Black Friday game that it is carrying.
I feel like the Black Friday ads are turning into the new Super Bowl ads, which like makes a lot of sense. But it's like,
yeah,
it's kind of fun to watch.
And like the Snoop Dogg one was pretty cool.
That was a good one. And the Mean Girls one.
Yeah. And then if it, like it's, this is during the Jets game, so you should just put like QR a bunch of like handkerchiefs.
Why? Because they're so bad you're crying?
Yeah. Terrible. Okay. And bad news for all the folks that have vans with curtains in them. Google Business Profiles are going to allow you to upload a photo of your vehicle where you meet your customers. So let's say you're a tool equipment company. You can put a picture of the tools and equipment in which you use to carry out your work. And also, if you have vehicle pictures to show the vehicle in the local area where you meet customers.
I like that.
Oh, I have one more. Okay. From Mike Fatita. He asks that Google search results are just really bad. And it's at Mike Fatita on X. They've gone way too far with Reddit dominating the SERPs. And he's got an example. And I think this is really important for people, just like candidly. The keyword is best gas charcoal grill combo. And the result for number 4 is from Reddit R Barbecue. And it's 10 years old. And the ranking number 5 is from Reddit Grilling. And it is 6 years old.
Great.
And this is one of those examples where that hidden gem might be a hidden gem, but who knows if they even make something the same that was launched in 2013.
And there's got to be new stuff since then. Like sometimes this would be fine.
Right. And
we're
what I would
about
just.
Products though.
We're long today. I don't really care. What I would say in this case, like look for some of that stuff that is out there and set up a Reddit account. And put out like objectively helpful comments in there and say like, hey, some of these have been discontinued. Here's a list of some of the top blah, blah, blah. Put your own products in there too. Disclose it if you want. But like I saw that like the New York Times is going out and trying to get people back to their site that way, or Wall Street Journal, one of the two. But some of these things that may have seemed like that's like over from a Reddit standpoint because it was 10 years in the past, now coming back and you might be able to go try to help leverage it for yourself. That's it in the organic What's Happening in Social Bud.
All right, we're going to start with the heavy stuff first. First up in social this week from CNBC, more than 24 House Democrats on Tuesday accused Elon Musk's ex of profiting off violent content by a terrorist organization and demanded that existentially address the Hamas-related content.
Welcome
on
to social.
The platform. I know, we're just going to get past it. You can read the article for more details. It's very serious, and I'm not going to be able to do it justice. We're also going long, but basically they have until December 1st to provide all forms of written communication related to content moderation, and they want a plan for preventing such content in the future. So read it, and I'm sure we will have updates as that progresses. On to the fun stuff. Next up, TikTok is launching a new AR effects creation tool that's built right into the TikTok app, so you will no longer need an external tool or a separate app to do so. The feature will enable all users to create their own custom AR experiences directly within the interface. It's available globally. All you need is the latest version of the app. So, cool stuff. Another update from the platform is a new customized feed option within the For You page that will let users enter conversational guidance on what they'd like to see more or less of in their feed. And the examples that they gave, they said, I'd like to see more posts from creators I follow, include more posts, more pets in my feed, or this really cute one, I'd like to see less magic in my For You feed for the next 2 weeks. Maybe you're home for the holidays, don't want your mom to know you're a wizard. I don't know, but.
Did you guys hear him viral?
What?
No, what happened?
I posted a TikTok with 80,000 views. 4,000 wow. likes.
Wow.
Oh, I thought
might not be here next week.
I thought you meant you like need another jab or something.
No. No.
We don't talk about Bruno.
Jess Butt is the only sick one here that way.
I'm fine. Do you want to talk about your viral TikTok?
It's just me like complaining about being a mom on road trips. It's pretty funny. I knew it was going to be viral the minute I posted this. I was like, how have I never seen a TikTok about this before?
I would love to see it. You'll have to show me on your own phone.
Okay.
Because I don't have the TikTok.
But I've tried to follow up, capitalize on my success, and nobody's caring. So probably will be here.
You're a one hit
wonder. I won't be here next week, but the week after I'll be back.
And I am viral. Okay. Meta is rolling out new tools to support independent research, making their Meta Content Library and API tools more broadly available. According to them, these tools provide access to near real-time public content from pages, posts, groups, and events on Facebook, as well as from creator and business accounts on Instagram. So they are just making things more available for folks that want to do independent studies on the impact of social media on the human beings. Love to see it. All right. Snapchat is testing a new tier of Snapchat Plus in Australia. They're offering an ad-free monthly plan, which equates to about $10.50 a month in US dollars. It's $16 in Australian dollars. Note, though, it is called ad-free, but it is not actually 100% ad-free. They say right here when you're paying for it that you can enjoy Snapchat Plus with no story or lens ads. You might still see sponsored places and my AI responses. So for $16 Australian a month, you can have less ads with an ad-free plan. And Andrew Hutchinson speculates that this will not come to us here in North America, just given the app's reliance on U.S. and Canadian markets for revenue. But maybe we will see it. It'll be more expensive. Nobody really knows. It's just a test, but FYI. Last up here in social this week, Facebook is removing its hobbies section from user profiles. And I don't want to repeat Shep's reuse of Greg's joke, so I will just say you didn't know it was there. Don't let it ruin your holiday. RIP in peace, Facebook hobbies. And that brings us to our real life segment. Straight out of our accounts and into your ear holes. It's time for Working Hard or Hardly Working, where we talk about what's going on in our IRL work, good, bad, or otherwise.
I don't know if this is working hard or hardly working or just kind of cute, but slash annoying. We were looking at shopping priority levels in campaign settings in Microsoft advertising today. And me and Julia from our team noticed that the options are low, medium, high, highest. But you can only do highest if it's PMAX. Surprise, surprise.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Cute. I'm going with cute.
Pretty out of control. Cute. Yeah. What about you, Jess?
Working hard, Nicole Waddington. She had a presentation at SMX and it was amazing. And I know we already plugged it, but I mean, she did a great job. I laughed. She's very funny. It was great information and she just did an amazing job. And we're all very proud of her, as is Greg's ringtone. What's happening with you, sir?
So for me, I just want to say it's not in my accounts, but it's in my X feed. The incredibly fast talker, Barry Schwartz, at Rusty Brick on Twitter. We were doing SMX last week, and he had a post out where he said, I think I wrote 32 search articles today between Search Engine Land and Search Engine Roundtable. moderated 4 SMX sessions today and had 2 client meetings and posted countless stuff on social. Almost done for the day, I think. We all just need to be so thankful for this man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Barry, we love you. We are thankful for everything you do. And so is the entire community. I saw that and I was flabbergasted. I think I had 4 sessions one day and I was like gassed.
Yeah.
And he's just out there writing 32 search articles.
We do this podcast and I can't even read an email.
Yeah.
That is a lot of work. And you know he's telling the truth.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's not fluff. Yeah. Yeah. No. That's amazing.
No. Thank working you. Hard.
Yeah, very.
Very thankful.
Working hardest.
And now for this week's
Cool Tool.
As a reminder, our Cool Tool segment is not an official endorsement or paid mention. We're simply sharing something we found in our travels that may be of use to our listeners. And is really, really cool.
This week's Cool Tool is more of a slick trick, and it's handy for anyone running LSAs, so listen up. I was going to call it a neat tweet, but it's a post on X. Rhymes would be a stretch. I tried to do that. That was a stretch, too. Anyway, hot tip from Darcy Burke at...
Strex?
Strex. Anyway, hot tip from Darcy Burke at Darcy Burke on Strex. He says, I've got a little LSA hack for all my local search peeps. Want to dispute an LSA lead that is over 30 days old? You can bring back the dispute CTA menu with simple CSS toggle. Right-click the area, find the HTML element, and turn off display none. And then there's a loom on how to do it.
I love it.
It's really good.
And we just unhide it.
It's really good. And he can confirm that it works because he got said disputes when he revived that feature approved.
The only problem is, like, when you find a tip this good, like, they're just going to get rid of it.
Yeah. And that's what he said. He's like, I don't even want to share this because they'll probably see it and whatever. So try it for now. You know, get it while you can.
We need a secrets podcast, you know?
A secrets podcast?
I think that's against the idea of podcasting.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Could make it Patreon.
Anyway, you want it. Like I said, there's a loom if you need to actually see how it's done. We will have the link in our newsletter as well as on Discord. That's newsletter.andcommunity.marketingclock.com, respectively. Bless you.
Sorry.
Pick your poison and check it out. Now it's time for our must-read marketing article of the week. An article so advanced, so in-depth, so detailed that we simply cannot cover it in its entirety on today's show.
This week's must-read marketing article of the week is over on Search Engine Land, and it is breaking down the quality rater and algorithmic evaluation systems from Dawn Anderson. Dawn is asking, are there major changes coming? She's looking at the importance of evaluation and some of the quality rater guidelines, humans in the loop, implicit and explicit evaluation feedback, and this is a long article, but it is really great, well thought out. And if you are very interested in like what the quality rater guidelines have and some of the thought process behind it, Dawn has got your back. Thank you, Dawn.
And now onto our playlist of curated songs to work to. You can head over to playlist.marketingandclock.com to listen to Marketing on Playlist. Jess Bud, what will you be adding this week?
Rubicon by Deftones.
I will be adding Christmas Isn't Canceled, Just You. By America's Sweetheart, Kelly Clarkson. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Oh, this comes out after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Okay, so
it's,
cool.
It's fine.
Greg, mm-hmm. I'm going to go Congratulations by Mac Miller.
All right. That does it for today's show.
It is now officially not Marketing O'Clock.
Thanks for listening.
We miss you already.
Can't wait to see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Marketing O'Clock. If you're looking for more information on today's topic, head over to marketingoclock.com/newsletter to receive every single article we covered. We share the news as it breaks in our Discord community. Head over to community.marketingoclock.com to join.
Welcome to this week's Shooting the Heck. We're after our famous Friday news show. We don't talk about marketing anymore. We just...
Shoot the Heck.
Today, we're playing everybody's favorite game. And what is that game, Greg?
This is a game that you might know at home by the time you're listening to this, because we are going to have a guess off of what... Balloons, right? Balloons, not floats.
Okay.
Are going to be in the 97th annual Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade here in the U.S.
Okay.
Floats are what? The like cars that drive by? So we're strictly talking.
It has to be
aerial.
In the air.
Okay.
Right. So I believe there's a float that comes near the end, like with Santa. Mm-hmm. But Santa is not a balloon. So we're trying to figure out the balloons in the air. Maybe you get a half point if you get a float.
I'm so excited.
Okay. So Shep and Jess, you want to play tables? You want to play? Or are you out?
I'll play.
Okay.
How we doing?
All right, tables, we'll start with you. Guess a balloon.
A balloon?
Yes.
Were you listening?
Say a turkey.
You are immediately off with one strike. No.
I thought there was a Macy's turkey.
Yeah.
No, there is float. No. Okay. I am looking at the giant balloons. There is no turkey here.
I was like very confident going into this, and now I'm drawing a blank. So I'm going to go with what Jordan said before she left the room. Snoopy?
Yes, there is a new Woodcock? Balloon this year. Beagle Scout Snoopy. So okay. I'll give that to you. Okay. 1 point to Shep.
I feel like there's always Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Yes. Yeah. Jess, you're in.
All right.
All right. 1-1-0. Tabes, what do you got next?
I'm going to go with Charlie Brown.
There is no Charlie Brown.
They're not going to do two.
No Charlie Brown.
Snoopy.
Tabes. Yeah, but usually it's like hand in hand, right?
No.
No. Okay. Shep, you're up.
Paw Patrol.
I think so. Yeah, so you have Chase from Paw Patrol, so I'll give you that.
Can I Google most popular kid shows right now?
No, you cannot.
No.
SpongeBob.
Correct.
Good guess.
It is SpongeBob SquarePants and Gary the Snail.
Aw, little cutie.
What a great show that show is. I just watched the movie number 3. So good.
I don't know if I've seen that far into the saga.
Oh, it's amazing.
Great show, though. Concur.
All right, tables.
Mario.
No.
3 strikes, you're out.
You're onto something with kid shows, though.
Yeah.
Just give you...
Like, Barney flew away a few years ago. I don't think he's back. Nobody watches him anymore. What
did the balloon really fly away?
It was like almost did. There's a really funny clip of all the people trying to keep him down. Okay, I think Blue's Clues is making a resurgence. Is Blue there?
I don't know these stupid kid shows. Is Bluey one?
No, that's
different. You should get it to me.
No, you should not get it.
That was a really good one that I should have guessed.
No, I do not see Blue's Clues.
Okay. Shoot.
But I also don't know. Can you name somebody from Blue's Clues?
It's just Blue and Magenta.
Blue and Magenta.
Mr. Salt and Mrs. Pepper. That's their names. They're dogs.
Blue the puppy.
Okay. Then you're out.
I saw a really funny meme today that said, I have not felt happiness since Paprika was born.
Oh, I know. That was a moment.
Since who was born?
Mr. Salt and Mrs. Pepper had a baby named Paprika, and it was the most wholesome thing. Like, we're all waiting.
Yeah.
I got to get in on this. This is a good show.
I was too old for it, but I had younger siblings. Wasn't watching it for me.
Shep, you have one strike. Jess.
I hope this is on there. I feel like there's a Macy's float that always has balloons that are like those fat elf things and stars in the sky. Yeah.
Okay, strike. Tables, do you want to take another guess?
He's out. He got 3 strikes.
No, I'm eliminated.
Okay, Shep.
I'm really drawing a blank. I know this has never happened before, but I think it'd be smart and something he would do. Does Blippi have a float?
Blippi does not have a float. All right, Jess.
Shoot.
You might be able to steal a win here if you get one of them correct.
No, if I can. There's got to be something from Frozen.
I don't think Disney doesn't do a lot.
Okay, Shep, you might be able to get the win here.
We're tied for 2 strikes, yeah?
What are the big kid shows? I'm going to throw a Hail Mary and say Mickey Mouse. I know it's wrong.
You're incorrect. Jess, you can get the win here.
Oh, man.
What are Paramount Plus shows? Oh, I have one.
Okay. No, wait for me. Shoot. Oh, there's got to be a Lego.
That's a good guess.
Incorrect.
What?
What about Dora the Explorer?
Incorrect.
There definitely used to be. I'm looking at most popular kid shows.
No, you can't.
We're losing.
I'll give you a hint after this next one. Five, four, three, two.
Captain Underpants.
No.
There used to be one for him.
So there
too.
Are shows and there are also some movie characters.
Oh my God. Okay.
Okay. I think she's got one over there.
Yeah, you can go to her.
No, you're up.
I don't know.
Five. Four.
Bruno.
It's a Disney movie.
Oh, the new Wish movie. Did they make a float?
Okay. Jess.
Spider-Man.
Incorrect.
What? Really?
Yes. This was your idea.
My kid watches the weirdest show. She watches Llama Llama Red Pajama. Is he on there?
Incorrect.
Iron Man.
Incorrect.
She also watches a show called Puppy Dog Pals.
Who's in there?
I think one's name is like Doug.
Incorrect.
Rugrats.
Incorrect.
So there's another dog.
Oh, no, there was Bluey. I was trying to direct you towards movies.
Okay, movies. A movie from this year?
I just said movies.
That's so hard.
Okay, movies that aren't Disney movies. I only care about Disney. Harry Potter.
Wow.
Incorrect.
Mm. Batman. No,
incorrect. So there's no superheroes?
Not that I see.
Shrek.
Incorrect.
Ooh, that was a good guess, though.
This is going to be some of the worst podcasts
we've ever done. I'm here for it. If you let me look it up.
Okay, you now have Google, but you can just look up kids movies or TV shows. There's TV shows and stuff too, or kid whatever kids do. All right, Jess, you're up.
There's got to be a turkey.
You started with that. No, it's still there's no turkey.
I did start with that.
Or tables, dead ice.
It's been so long, I don't remember.
Out of all the time we've put into this podcast, this might be my favorite segment.
Are we going to air this?
Yeah,
Garfield.
Incorrect.
Daniel Tiger.
Incorrect.
It's
Shep's turn.
Somebody just has to win, right?
The Grinch.
Next one gets it. Sudden death. Incorrect. Jess.
Barbie.
Incorrect.
She's not blimp shaped.
Don't body shame her.
Jimmy Neutron.
Incorrect.
Curious George.
Incorrect.
Bubble Guppies.
Incorrect. This needs to be nominated for a clock score.
You've got to cut this.
This is so hard.
Kung Fu Panda.
Correct.
Yeah, it wasn't your turn. It was my turn.
Correct.
Okay, you can have it just to put me out of my misery.
Oh, no. Hey, we'll call that a tie. Let's go one more round.
No.
Okay, here are the 18 giant balloons. Beagle Scout Snoopy, Blue Cat and Chugs. I've never heard of that.
What?
Bluey, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Dino and Baby Dino, Goku, Grogu.
Oh, Pokemon.
Kung Fu Panda's Po, Leo, who I believe is a Ninja Turtle, Monkey D. Luffy, Chase from Paw Patrol, Pikachu and Eevee, Pillsbury Doughboy.
I should have known that.
Red Titan from Ryan's World, Ronald McDonald, SpongeBob.
Oh,
this is the one I thought you would get. Stuart the Minion.
Oh, no. I was like, the minions are not on my radar.
And then Uncle Dan. What is that?
That's just some guy.
It sounds like the guy from like Forrest Gump. You know what I mean?
Lieutenant Dan?
Yeah. It's just like him.
Uncle Dan.
It's Lieutenant Dan's Uncle Dan.
But the other thing is like, aren't we in a helium shortage too? Like at some point there is going to be more of these. Do you know that?
Yeah.
That will be a sad day.
Well, when are we going to run out of helium?
But that's why we should just let
they're hoarding all the helium for these balloons.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't have it already.
There's
been a helium shortage for at least 5 years because there was one when I got married.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like it's been a thing.
We should just release all the floats to the stars. Let them go, you know?
I don't think that's how it works. All right. Well, that was some riveting podcasting. I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
See you next week.